Have you asked yourself, is branding the same thing as marketing? And if they're different things, which one comes first? We're going to tackle all those questions and more in today's video, so stay tuned. Welcome to Emma Givens Content and Copy. My name's Emma, and I'm the founder of a boutique agency specializing in branded copywriting and content writing for small and medium-sized businesses. I know from experience working with hundreds of businesses of all shapes and sizes that compassionate, client-centered copy and content ultimately does three incredibly powerful things. One, it helps your ideal client by matching them to a product or service that's going to improve their life. Two, it positions you as the guy they think of first and trust wholeheartedly. And three, it actually improves conversion and retention for a thriving business long-term. Are you excited to stand out to more of the clients you adore? Let's dive into some content and copy. My name is Emma. I am the founder of the branded copywriting boutique, Emma Givens Content and Copy. There's a real theme here. And we primarily serve premium service-based business owners or high-end product-based businesses. So that would include things like jewelry or food, things that might not be the essentials, like maybe foods like chocolate, which you don't need to survive, but it sure makes life a lot better. And so while we specialize in copywriting for this kind of area, one of the things that we also do is content marketing. Once we get to know the brand voice and really have this clear brand message defined, it's much easier for our clients to work with us across the board. And that includes things like blog posts, social media, etc. And this is going to be a really great interview that we're going to share with Catherine from Creme Brands, because Creme Brands is a luxury brand studio. So they really focus on the branding side of things. They also work with very similar clientele that we work with, and we'll probably use some of those examples today. And we also have worked together in the past on her clients' projects and even some of the copy for Creme Brands. So I really hope you enjoy this episode, learning about the relationship between branding and marketing and where copywriting comes in. So let's head over to the computer and chat to Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Hey, Emma.
Thank you so much for being here. So could you please share a little bit about yourself and your business for the audience?
Thanks so much for having me. So I'm Catherine, and I'm a brand designer and strategist, and I founded Creme Brands. We now have a team that works together on brand strategy, design, and websites.
Perfect. And that's such a succinct, like, doesn't surprise me at all, brand designer kind of way of being able to describe yourself, because you know exactly who you are and who you help. So doesn't surprise me. But how did you actually get into entrepreneurship in the first place?
Well, I started my business 9 years ago now. So I had been a solopreneur graphic designer for several years at that point. I had studied graphic design in college previously, then jumped into, you know, full-time freelancer contractor world. And a few years into that, I was really feeling creatively frustrated because I was working in publishing. And I think at that time, you know, when someone is an up-and-coming creative, you're still really trying to find your voice, your style, you're trying to find confidence. There's a lot of kind of client interactions you're learning to manage just as much as you're learning to press into your own artistic kind of perspective. And so at that time, I really wasn't happy being a, quote, creative. But then I discovered the whole creative industry, which is funny because I was technically part of it, right? But I started discovering people like florists, photographers, wedding planners, stylists, people who their very essence of work was about creating an atmosphere with creativity. So I found this whole creative industry, wedding industry, and I totally fell in love with what they were doing. But I saw that even though they were capable of really, really excellent work, what they were putting out there in terms of their online presence, how they might present themselves over email, it wasn't in alignment with the actual caliber of their work. And so me having very much a background in first impressions with book cover design, I thought, wow, there is so much more these people are capable of. If people just knew how good the inside of their business book was, if they could get the cover right. And so that's where I really just had this vision to really help people align the first impression and then to sustain that first impression with a really strong brand.
I've seen that in person when looking at all of the work that you've done. I've been able to connect with some of your clients and follow them. And you can see after working with you that suddenly the experience is absolutely in alignment with the results that they give their clients. So it makes a ton of sense to me that you put it that way. So something that we have in common is that because you're working in branding and I work in copywriting and marketing, there's an area where we kind of overlap, especially when it comes to that brand messaging that's in the middle, because you get so clear on strategy and how people describe their why, and I help people convey those in words to their ideal clients. But I'd love to know, how would you describe the difference between branding and marketing? Because I think people get really confused between the two.
Yeah. So branding is strategic and marketing is tactical. And what I mean by that is you can think of branding as a foundational aspect. So it's setting an overall intention for what's the strategy? Who are we targeting? What's the message we want to share? How are we standing out in the market? All of those are very much building a foundational strategy. Whereas marketing is going to be the day-to-day house you build on top of that. So it's tactical. It's what you do every day when you post on social. It's how you talk in your stories. It's who you choose to interview on your YouTube channel, like Emma. So really, it's the actual outflow of the foundational strategy. But branding is important because if you don't know who you're talking to or why, the message starts to get really diluted. So when you find your brand clarity, it actually flows into so many other parts of your business. And marketing is just one of the pillars that branding flows into. It branding also flows into revenue, like pricing. It flows into leadership. How are you creating a culture if you have a team? Or what sort of client experience are you building? So branding is really truly a foundational thing that when it's done right, it clarifies so much of the day-to-day business activities.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. So if someone is just starting a business, when is the right moment for them to do their branding?
Well, you know, different industries are different because if you look at like the tech startup world, for example, typically that startup process is you're getting funding. And so you really have a shot to kind of get a product to market. And there's a lot of pressure on those initial sales, right? It's like you launch a product, you need to make sales. And so at that point, branding not only is really vital, but you also have the funding to do it. Whereas a service provider based business, typically it's more of an evolving process. So a founder, you know, kind of a solopreneur, maybe they're working in corporate, maybe they were a freelancer, now they're doing this business thing. Typically, a kind of one service project to the next is going to inform them of their direction. It's going to be a little bit more of an organic process, whereas a true kind of startup, what we think of it as tech or product startup, there's going to be a lot more research and funding that goes into that, whereas service providers are probably self-funding. So I would have really different advice depending on who you are, because the ROI is going to be different, and then the pressure and the timing is going to be different. But let's speak to service providers specifically. So I would say that if you can start with the best branding possible, obviously that's what's best. However, I don't think you should overextend as a service provider. So you might really want to wait like a year in business, have a chance to make some revenue in your business, and then you can invest some of that profit back into it. Having a clearer idea of who is really the best alignment to your services. So your ideal client, it's not about being exclusive for the sake of being exclusive. It's really about being inclusive to your perfect match. So as you get more experience and gain more traction as a service-based business, you're going to have a much clearer idea of who you're actually talking to, who you're actually trying to attract. And the good thing with that is then at that point, when you go through a branding process, you're going to have a more meaningful outcome because you're going to be able to center the aesthetic and messaging, like when you work with Emma, that's going to be centered around the idea of connection. How does this connect to the ideal client? Day one of your business, you might have a really loose idea, but you're going to be informed about who that ideal client should even be the more service projects you do. But going back to the product example, you know, or maybe even thinking about hospitality industry, we've worked with boutique hotels, or we've worked with many med spas now. You know, thinking about that sort of experience where you're really trying to create that luxury first impression, you're in a really saturated market. I think the sooner you can go through a branding process, the better. Just because the longer you have a brand in existence, the more equity you're building in that brand. And what I mean by that is not only, okay, so you spent $200 on business cards. What I mean by brand equity is it's the number of impressions that brand is getting with people. So this could be online impressions. This could be in-person impressions when they see your signage, when they walk in the door. They have a perception of your business based on your visual branding that then sticks with them. So the longer you have a brand look, the more memorable it becomes and the more people tie their perceptions of your business to that actual look. So that's what I mean by brand equity. So really, the sooner you can invest in a strategic branding process, really do it right, the more you can start actually building that brand equity versus making a small investment only to then turn around and change it drastically the next year, the year after that. That's when brands really start to create confusion inadvertently. So that's kind of a complicated answer, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, as early and strategic as you can, because you don't just want to be early without being strategic. So that would be my advice for you.
I love that answer. I know even from personal experience as a service provider, using that example, absolutely. It took, I would say, a year and a half to 2 years to really have a clear sense of who I was, who it was that I worked with, what made me different. And if I had invested from day one in branding, I'm sure it would have been valuable, but I would have had to change it very, very early on. So I think that is such a good point that you, as a service provider, want to experiment. But with a product-based business or a physical location, there is a lot more that's tangible that someone can hold on to and use as the basis for strategy. So it makes sense that depending on what area you're in, that strategic moment is a little bit, it's at a different time, right? So I think that that is such an important reflection. You're so right as well that if you change it too often, people get confused and confused people don't buy. This is absolutely true with brand messaging too and copywriting. If we're constantly changing their copy and the way that they talk about what they do, that absolutely has the same effect. So we absolutely, when you can start with that branding, build a message that's deeply connected to that initial why, that really creates that same word environment that you're creating with visuals and being able to be consistent across the board, people's results are just so, so much better. So when you're working with different businesses, since we do work together at times, how do you know it's time to bring in the copy? When do you know that they're ready to explore copywriting for their website, usually in our example?
Oh, well, I always recommend that they work with a copywriter, but I guess your question is more just when should they do the messaging part? And for us in our process, we break it down into phases. So phase one is brand design and strategy. And then once we complete that, then we move on to phase two, which is website research. That's where we actually create a plan for your website. Like, you don't just go hire a general contractor without drawing up a blueprint or, you know, drawing up a plan for where's the bathroom going to go? Where's this wall? Is it load bearing? You know, you have to really take into account what's the structure of your site and why. You can't just say, oh, I see this other person has five pages. We need to talk about technical integrations. You know, really, how are we going to flow people through every page of your site to really tell the story from a structural standpoint? So during phase two, that's really where we create what we call wireframes in the graphic design industry, which that's a fancy phrase. It just means like a visual outline. It will show you like literally here's where your horizontal image should go. Put a vertical here. Let's do a headline about this long, a little paragraph. So we'll actually lay all that out as just a grayscale wireframe. And then at the end of phase two, not only will you have your kind of architect plans, you'll have a 30-page PDF of our website plan that you've signed off on, but then you'll also have those wireframes. So that is kind of the perfect time for you to either DIY your copy, because you're going to have a really clear idea of at least initial recommended line links and placements. It will be easier for you to either fill in on your own with, you know, the support of someone like Emma, where you're going through a certain copywriting framework, or to just hand it off to Emma and say, here's, you know, here's the site map here. You can see how it's all kind of laid out. And then she can go to town doing what she does so well, which is actually telling your story. So that's where I recommend that copywriting takes place. I think if you do it too early, you're not going to have a clear idea of even like how many square feet is this structure? You know, like you can't just start writing, not even understanding in terms of like user experience what the website goals are technically.
Absolutely. And having that research to go off of, because the amount of prep work you do when wireframing is it's so in-depth. So being able to use all of that information, also having SEO research done, all of that informs the copy. So that way we're also not making changes halfway through. And whenever you can take those as foundational and craft copy that integrates it smoothly, you're always going to have better results. I can actually, as a copywriter, for example, can focus on the story and creating that common language with your ideal clients. And I don't have to worry about going back in afterwards to stuff keywords, for example, which is just like, it's doable, but it's always better when you have that research foundation and that brand foundation. So that way everything is integrated smoothly and it really is focused on the goals that you're trying to achieve. So I love it. I'm in total agreement with you, Catherine. So let's also talk about if someone has an established brand, but they are wondering if it's time for a rebrand. So how do they know that it's time to come to you, for example, for an amazing rebrand?
Oh, well, I think it really comes down to bottom line. Like, bottom line, is your branding attracting your ideal clients and the revenue and work? Or is it repelling it? Because, you know, your brand, it really needs to go to work for you. You can't have any team member. Like, imagine on your team, if you had someone that half the time was like really giving your prospective clients a bad taste in their mouths, like, you know, totally the wrong brand voice, like just like really off color. And that's not your brand personality. Like, I doubt that you would just say, oh, well, I think I'm going to keep them around for 5 years because, hey, I invested money in setting it up, right? No, you would be like, no, this is costing me money now. It doesn't matter. At that point, you have to look at things in business as a sunk cost sometimes. And that's a really hard lesson to learn that I've had to learn over the years. But when you can shift into that mindset of sunk cost versus future profit, I think it really can liberate you and you can actually start to achieve more success. And, you know, branding is a big decision. So I certainly don't say that lightly, but I also think a lot of people leave money on the table just because they're underselling themselves. So it might seem like branding is kind of like the fluffy, fun part of business. And maybe in some ways it is, because it is very much a creative process. Just like your copywriting process, there's a lot of fun kind of discovery work you do. There's a lot of fun things with voice and tone and maybe even some little jokes. Like, I know Emma has written for our clients just some really fun copy. So I think that brand messaging, brand visuals, they do get that rep. But the reality is it's not the cherry on top. It's like branding is the whole ooey gooey sundae. It's like, this is the whole experience that you want people to be like, oh, I want to grab a spoon. I want to dig in to experience that product or that service. It's not just like, oh, cute little cherry on top. It really is like the whole thing of how enticing it makes your product or services look. And so all that to say, it's not something that you can just go, well, I did it. I don't really love it, but I think I'm just going to keep trying. It's got to be a 24/7 working team member of your business.
I love that, that it is a working team member. You're so right. And when speaking of the bottom line as well, when I was supporting you with just making some updates to your new website copy, I remember seeing numbers in there around the number of people who, after working with you, are able to raise their prices and see a huge increase in their revenue, but also their confidence and the pride that they have when sharing their brand. Because you're right that it's both the fun part and the base part at the same time. I've seen, you know, little jokes as well in your visuals in terms of even like looking at someone's personal sense of style and incorporating that into their colors. I remember, if you remember who exactly this is, that would be great. But there is someone whose husband was in the military. And so you actually use that tone of green in the interior design, like color palette that you have for her.
Heather Spencer, she's a realtor in Louisville, Kentucky, which is where I'm based out of. Our team is kind of all over. But, you know, I think that really hearing her story of how she got into being a realtor and hearing how what she does with the motivation of her family, and they've been able to come back to Louisville after the military took them all over. It was a really sweet, special touch to me that it's so symbolic that she's matching people to homes in Louisville where she grew up after having gone all over, you know, the country with the military with her husband. And obviously his strength just means a lot to her they have a beautiful family. So yeah, little sweet touches like that, I think, can be really meaningful. You know, but what Emma's talking about with confidence, that it's not just about, okay, so it's like the profit. Yeah, confidence plays directly into that, because I think mindset mm-hmm. is so much in business. But
definitely,
you know, it's not just about changing how other people feel about your business with branding. It's really about changing how do you feel about your business, because you don't want to be in something too where you feel like, man, I feel so poured into this, so like squeezed. This feels so out of date. You know, we've all gone to like Target and been like, oh gosh, I hope I don't run into anyone. I'm like wearing clothes from 5 years ago and I look a mess. And if you're showing up for your business that way, how do you expect that you're going to feel good and feel like you're thriving? You're at your maximum focus when you, if you're a service provider, when you get on sales calls, that you are really putting your best foot out there. You know, I think, I very much think branding is like dress for the job you want. And so good branding, it's about showing up for the job interview that technically every day you're running your business is a job interview, because marketing is such, like we were saying from the beginning, it's the tactical daily stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you show up for that job interview, you know, dressed, put together in a way that's really the right vibe for your business, it really does change not just how other people feel, but how you do. And I think ultimately we all started a business, not even just because we were invested in other people's happiness, but because we were invested in our own happiness, building a life we actually want to live that actually feels good. And so, you know, branding to a lesser extent, I feel like that's an important factor as well. If you're thinking about, is it time?
Absolutely. And so I think one of the last questions before we wrap up is, when we're talking about that relationship between branding and marketing, what are some really concrete ways that you see branding well inform a marketing strategy? So how are some of the ways that the marketer will take the branding that you create and tactically apply it?
So I think brand pillars is really helpful with this. When you can figure out the content areas that you can regularly post about, that really best connect with your audience, with your ideal client. So this might really vary based on industry, but I can give you a couple of examples of like what a content pillar would be. So a content pillar for us is actually sharing inspiration and encouragement about confidence, which this is top of mind based on our conversation about branding. But this content pillar, it's not just like, oh, here's a quote, like be confident. This content pillar is about sharing my own story as an entrepreneur and some of the things I've had to personally overcome and what has really fueled me as a business owner, because ultimately the why I have for my business is to help other people be confident, which those have been some really hard won lessons in my personal life. And that fuels me in my business life to help other people realize you have permission. You get to choose. You're not stuck. And I think when you can shift into that mindset professionally as well as personally, you can absolutely do more of the work you love. So that's really, you know, one of our content pillars is that inspirational confidence pillar. But then we also have a content pillar in my business that's about branding, like branding thought leadership. Like how can we really take what's a very nebulous topic and break it down into like some little golden like branding nuggets? Like what is good branding? Like just in really practical layman's terms. So that would be another example of a content pillar for my business. But you have to think about what industry are you in? What are the pain points people that would buy from you are having? And then your brand pillar should really intersect with that. So that way you're creating value and connection with people around those things.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit more about Crème's approach to branding. What really makes Crème so special? I mean, people who follow you on Instagram, for example, will see it immediately, but tell us a little bit more.
Oh man, I could talk about this stuff all day. You might regret asking me this. So I absolutely love the process of hearing someone's story, which I'm sure we're really similar in this way, Emma. But hearing someone's story and their business goals and then translating those into branding visuals. So for us, you know, that really is the, you know, starting with pencil sketches, the creative process of just like seeing what's possible and what's really a fit for these objectives for the project. So that's probably something that makes my business a little bit different is everything is based on pencil sketches. Everything's really custom. We just worked with a a floral farm and event venue, and they also do custom floral for events offsite. Anyways, we just did a design for them, and that included me drawing like 10 different botanical illustrations by hand and then bringing that into the computer and, you know, putting that all together in different patterns, different alternate kind of logo marks, because really I want to build people a whole brand system and a whole brand world. I don't want to just give someone a logo, because that's actually not going to do as much for their business. But when you hand someone a whole toolbox, they can really build from there. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's not just about a pretty logo. It's about what is your purpose and how can we help you grow your profit? So it's definitely a lot more than the pretty pixels, although I love, you know, the pencil sketches, drawing the logos. If you guys look at our Instagram, you'll see I'm like super OCD and into all the kind of design geeky stuff. But to me, like what gets me so excited about that is knowing I can help someone stand out and be more memorable in the long run, because it's something that's custom, they can actually own it. And that's just, you know, kind of a little bit different of an approach. And just like in the copywriting world, there's lots of great approaches out there, but I think finding the approach that resonates with you as a prospective client, to Emma or to me, you know, that's really important that you actually understand what's the process you're buying, because you have to keep in mind, you're not just buying an end product from a service provider. You're really buying experiencing their process. So you want to make sure that actually fits with you. You're excited by that. That's going to inspire trust and confidence in you. And I think you're going to have a really amazing experience that way with whoever you end up hiring for copywriting or brand design or whatever it may be, because you've taken the time to understand the process and not just the end product.
Definitely. I really think that when you find those service providers, especially with things that are so personal, like branding and messaging and copywriting, those end up being memorable highlights of your time in business. I've heard that time and time again, where they are the moments where people had the most fun, where people felt really aligned, that their business really does have a deeper purpose. And whether that is just, you know, giving them the life that they want, if it's about the people that they help. So it really is a great idea to get a good sense of the process and the fit that you have with your brand designer, with your copywriter. So Catherine, where can we find you and Creme Brands online?
So at Creme Brands, sharing the fun behind the scenes, like I was mentioning, but also sharing tips on branding and website. And I would love to connect with you there. So if you do, check us out. Send me a DM. I read all of our DMs. And yeah, we'd just love to get to know you and a little bit about your business.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Catherine. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. It's always a pleasure to work with you. So there's a good chance if you do reach out to Catherine and you end up doing brand design with her, if you need a copywriter, I may come onto your project to help you at some point. So it's a great way of getting to work with both of us. But thank you so much for your time. It's always such a pleasure to talk to a fellow creative and a really brilliant mind. So thanks.
Oh, thanks for having me, Emma.
All right, so that was a great interview with Catherine of Creme Brands. She is so, so talented. All of the work that they do is handcrafted, and I feel very honored to collaborate with her on projects for Creme and for Creme's clients. So please go and check out all of their work in the description box below on YouTube, or if you're on the podcast, you can check out all the details in the show notes. Were you surprised by anything we shared about branding and marketing? Make sure that you tag us on Instagram to show both Catherine and I that you enjoyed this episode. I am at Emma Gibbons Writer, and Catherine is at Creme Brands. Thank you so much for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you next week. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to Emma Gibbons Content and Copy. If you had an aha moment or insight from today's episode, let's make it stick by writing it down in a review. It would actually mean the world to me and my entire team. You can write a review on Apple Podcasts, then screenshot it and tag me on Instagram at Emma Gibbons Writer. I'd be thrilled to start a conversation with you and reshare your big aha moment with the rest of the audience. Until next time, remember, your voice matters. Let's set it free. See you next week for another episode of Emma Gibbons Content and Copy.